The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours, it will be ours. Oh, one day, when the war is won, we will be sure, we will be sure. Oh, glory,
glory, glory,
oh,
glory, glory.
Hands to the heavens, no man, no weapon formed against, yes, glory is destined. Everyday women and men become legends. Sins that go against our skin become blessings. The movement is a rhythm to us. Freedom is like religion to us. Justice is juxtapositioning us. Justice for all just ain't specific enough. One son died, his spirit is revisiting us. True and living, living in us. Resistance is us. That's why Rosa sat on the bus. That's why we walked through Ferguson with our hands up. When it go down, we woman and man up. They say stay down, and we stand up. Shots, we on the ground. The camera panned up. King pointed to the mountaintop, and we ran up.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours, it will be ours. Oh, one day.
Good morning, and welcome to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. It's Leland Miller. Let me get my headphones there. I'm so glad to be with you this morning. So good to be in your company this morning. For the people that tell me I like to talk about politics all the time, today is your day. Go get your coffee. Sit next to your radio, turn it all the way up, because today I'm not talking politics, although it's pretty easy to talk politics in and around this town. Why? Because politicians say a lot of crazy things, right? Like I see Glenys Anna Martin is in the newspaper this morning talking about wanting to take a pay cut. Hoorah, they finally arrived. We're so happy that they're here to join us almost 1 year later. But it'll be good to see. It'll be good to see if the politicians are prepared to not, and not a pay cut. I think they should suspend their salaries. Right? Because I don't think many of them are going to work every day. And since they ain't going to work every day, then I feel like, you know, maybe they could see what it feels like for 6 months to have no salary like the rest of us have had no salary for 6 months. And maybe that would level the playing field. Maybe that would get people like Ricky Markey, those out of the clouds, and they would stop talking nonsense about how people are having their houses foreclosed on and being contacted by Canadian banks because they've been delinquent the entire time. You know, maybe then that would inspire people like Darren Henfield and his cabinet colleagues to go there and light some fire underneath some people's tails to get some things done. And yes, Commander, I mean in this climate, right? Because we do not elect governments to do the things that are easy. We elect governments to do the things that are hard. That is how Kennedy got men to the moon. But we're not talking politics today. I assure you that. We're going to talk money, though, and we're going to talk money because we are at a difficult place in the world where everybody, everywhere, seems to not be able to have enough money to pay the simple debt that they have. And it is now becoming a surmounting debt, and I fear that it may soon become insurmountable according to people's capacity and capability to pay. If that is the case, how do people get themselves out of there, right? And there's still those people that are disconnected, I guess, is broken, in that people are still saying things like, you have to try to save. You should have had at least 6 months put up. Or you have to consider these kinds of things in the world. You never know when these kinds of things are going to happen. And I'm telling you, as a man who pays his own medical insurance, who has my own retirement annuity pension plan set up for when I get 65. Lord Jesus, let me make it to 65 because I really want $150,000. I just want to see what it looked like on my bank account. And as somebody who tries as best as I can to have auxiliary savings, I am telling you that after 11 months of having my own personal income reduced by about 70%, it is becoming difficult. What is even more difficult, right? Is there are people that I employ who, out of good faith, I've been trying to create work for them because I understand that I will end up giving them money one way or the other. Either I will give them money because they offer me a fee for service, or I will end up giving them money in charity. When they hit rock bottom and their children need to eat, they are more than likely going to come to the familiar face, and I am going to end up giving them money for services that they haven't rendered. And so it is in my own best interest to find ways to keep them employed. Do you know what that now means? That means that I have got to go and find ways to generate income in a time when generating income just isn't a real thing. And that is something many people like me have to consider, right? The young entrepreneur, the young businessman, the person that isn't on a clock. So I do not know where the $1,000 is coming from. What I do know is that I've got to find it. And my reliance is on that $1,000. So is my dependent's reliance on that $1,000. So is my auxiliary dependents, those people that I employ, whether it's my gardener, who doesn't care where I get his $100 from. He know he cleaned the yard Saturday, boss. I come to pick up the $100, all right? And so I brought a guy in here, Nathaniel Butley, my guest today. We're talking about finances. He's a financial planner, financial organizer. The guy likes money, and that's why I brought him in. Maybe we could get some information on him that would be helpful. He can kind of walk us through where people are, what should people expect, what should people be leaning towards. I had a young woman that said to me, because I was talking to a young lady earlier this morning, and she said to me, save what? Save what? I used to make $450, $500 a week, all right? I'm living in a house with a man, all right? No, I haven't lost any of my income, but he has lost 100% of his income. Save what? Should I tell him when he asks me, when he puts down his masculinity and say to me, baby, I need $100. Why? Man, I just feel like going out this weekend. The man hasn't been anywhere in 6 weeks. Do I say to that man that has already rest his masculinity down to ask me his woman for $100? Do I say to him, no, man, we got to save this money? Could you imagine where that puts him mentally? Could you imagine where he must now be? Save what? How do we save this money? It is impossible. We have to use every dime of this money to live. I have to pay my light bill, pay my water bill, pay my landlord. And in the same vein, I am still a social creature. Already the world, the education system, has raised social beings. So do not tell me that I am somehow being, I don't know, childish or not responsible when I decide that I will commit small portions of whatever the income is that I have to being that social creature you created. So anyway, that's enough of me. Nathaniel Butler is here. Nathaniel, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, man. Good morning. I'm happy to be here with you. Finally, you got your show, man.
Yeah. I was like trying to book the president of the United States of America. He's a busy guy. So, I mean, tell me, what have you been up to these days? What's been going on? How exactly are you seeing the new climate with all of the financial constraints being put on people these days?
Well, I'll be honest with you, the best way I can sum all of this up is this. We're all at the beach, the waves pull back, and we see who all was swimming naked. Mm. But the problem now is some of those persons who swimming naked are loved ones. Mm-hmm. And now we, who are in a better position, not the best position, not the position we were prior to the wave pulling back, mm-hmm. but we now have to be the ones to step in and take care of our loved ones. And so that's basically where I'm at now. We are in extremely trying times. A number of persons who would normally be responsible, who would normally take care many of their responsibilities, are now without a job for almost a year. Mm-hmm. All right? No amount of savings could prepare anyone for something of this nature. Mm-hmm. You understand what I'm saying? And then in addition to that, we also have another group of persons, believe it or not, that we rarely talk about. There's a group of persons who still had their income during the time of the lockdowns, and they were home. Mm-hmm. And because of the level of restriction outside of buying online, they saved.
Okay.
They that's the most they ever saved because they couldn't go to fast food. Mm-hmm. They couldn't go to regular spending with friends and gatherings. Mm-hmm. So for many of them, they are a little bit ahead. And then last but not least, you have the group that was barely making it, and then now the bottom has literally dropped out. Mm-hmm. So you have them living in cars. You have them living with family members. You have them just may not even have a place to live. Mm-hmm. You get what I'm saying? Landlords are kicking people out mm-hmm. because they're under the gun mm-hmm. due to the banks. Right. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
I remember being on another show and persons call and say, hey, well, we got to do something with the landlord, but the landlord is in the same position as well.
Right.
They're looking at
in a worse position.
Yeah, because now...
The landlord has a mortgage. He's had one for 15 years. The Canadian bank has said, listen, we will defer this loan for 3 months. 3 months has gone. The landlord has collected no rent. The prime minister said that you could have gotten into an agreement with your landlord where you paid in a portion of your rent. You didn't
Which
do that.
Which he banked on.
Right. You didn't do that.
Yeah.
Now, 9 months later, right, after 4 months of having...
No income.
Right. The landlord now says, listen, I am calling you because the Canadians are calling me.
Yes.
As the tenant, you lose a place to stay. As the landlord, I lose 15 years of investments in an asset.
Yeah.
The landlord is in a worse position.
Yeah. No, I agree with you with that. But then some people don't look at it from the standpoint of the pressure that the landlord is under. And mm-hmm. then some landlords, depending on what age they may be at, that might also be their supplemental income mm-hmm. carrying
or their only income.
Or their, and I was going to say that, or their retirement income. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You understand what I'm saying? So this pandemic has really exposed the habits that we have in finances. Mm-hmm. Now, for some persons, it's, you know, this is going to teach us how to be better. And for other persons, you know, at the end of the day, you could not predict this. Mm-hmm. So the first thing I would say to most persons in this situation, some of this is not your fault.
Okay.
Okay? The second thing, and you hit on this as well, yes, we're dealing with a money issue, mm-hmm. but at the same time, we're also dealing with a financial psychology issue.
Okay.
All right? For the first time, many persons who normally provide for themselves, normally take that level of responsibility are now dependent. So they don't know what it is to stand on the food line.
Mm-hmm.
And they may not know what it is to stand up on social service line. And they are afraid of how people would look at them, how mm-hmm. people would perceive them. You understand what I'm saying? And I always draw the story. You know, when Dorian happened, mm-hmm. My family and I, we have a rental property in Abaco. For the first time in my life, two weeks after Dorian, we flew down there, me and a group of guys in the family. We flew down there just to do an assessment. The first bad decision I ever made in my life is to go on a trip with a group of guys to do some work and nobody brought food.
Mm.
So now we're doing all this hard labor, moving plywood, moving debris and all of that stuff, moving furniture and all of that stuff. And now we're hungry.
Mm-hmm.
There's no place open at that time. There was no food center like that.
Mm-hmm.
For the first time in my life, I didn't want to go on a food line. I had to go on a food line.
Mm.
You understand what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It's a difference if you were helping out and serving and then you eat some of the food. No, for the first time in my life.
Right. It was eat this or die.
Eat this or die. Mm-hmm. Eat this or pass out. Mm-hmm. You understand what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And that is an experience. And the reason why I'm describing that, for a lot of persons who are responsible enough, persons who take care of themselves, those persons who provide for themselves or provide for their family, and that job or that business is removed from you, for the first time in your life, you're now at the mercies of these other organizations that are supplying and assisting you.
Mm-hmm.
It's one thing to have it for a moment, but it's another thing to have it for several months.
Mm-hmm.
You get what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so it messed with the psyche. Of an individual.
Sure.
All right? But for the most part, I would say there are some things that you can do. Oh, and another point I want to make too as well. You got to remember now, at this time, you know, you had the unemployment assistance,
mm-hmm.
right? So that was 13 weeks. And then the other social assistance that mm-hmm. they put in place went from 150, then it dropped to 100.
Right.
You got to remember now, these people have lifestyles.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now, wherever their lifestyle fall on the scale, the money that they were getting was nowhere sufficient
mm-hmm.
for the lifestyle that they used to live.
And what about people that say, oh, well, you know, it's hard times, so you got to cut that back.
How much could you cut back?
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Think about it. A woman with two kids,
mm-hmm.
the fathers are not in their life,
mm-hmm.
but she's now a hotel worker. They're not getting paid from the hotel.
Mm-hmm.
She's now relying on NIB. She's mm-hmm. getting $100 a week.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That $100 for anybody who goes in the grocery store and buys grocery.
It's tree bagger grocery.
Come on, listen to
me. And you better pray God you don't have to buy detergent.
And then to add injury to insult, let's just say she was staying with a family member and a household of other dependents. You put food in the fridge, man. Nobody really cares who put the food there.
Right.
They can consume it.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
So our only contribution to our household, our only contribution to our children is now consumed by other persons. And now when, I would say this, there are some children you got to have the conversation that, daddy, mommy, we lost our job. Right? And they get that.
Mm-hmm.
But there's another group under a particular age, when you tell them, daddy, mommy, we lost our job, they come back an hour later and say, I'm hungry.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that never really, they couldn't process that.
Yeah.
You no, understand what I'm saying? Yeah. And as a parent, man, when your child tell you they hungry and you don't have no resources,
mm-hmm.
like I said, that affects you psychologically.
Mm-hmm.
That affects you emotionally. But like I said, there are some things that persons can do to mediate their situation. There are a number of different scenarios, but depending on the scenario that you're in and depending on how hungry you are, to mitigate your situation, there are some things that you could do. I believe in taking baby steps, not big steps. And you find that at the end of the day, persons are able to manage and maintain until they can do better.
Mm-hmm. How do they go about doing that?
Okay, so for example, let's look at the...
Because the income has stopped. I mean, my management and maintenance is easy when I have... trickle income, right? I may have been. Let's just say I was a butler in the hotel.
Yeah.
I used to make in my set salary at $500 a week.
Yeah.
But I know that if I get two big guests, I could do $1,500 a week, right?
Yeah.
So in good times, I'm living above my means because I have $1,500 a week.
That's true.
Management and maintenance would be easy if I had the $550.
No. So
now I'm down at $100. No. I can't manage and or maintain with that.
No, I agree with you. But I'm saying in this situation now, we have to look at outside sources, right? However, we also have to take into consideration our populace is only yay big. Mm-hmm. And half of our populace is still not working or in reducing
income. 60% of them are unemployed, according to the Minister of Labor.
Yeah, so there's not a whole lot of money that can be trickling around. Mm-hmm. You understand what I'm saying? You go, I've heard somebody said, well, oh, just get one lawnmower, start cutting your neighbor's grass. Okay, you can cut your neighbor's grass. But then what happened if your neighbor can't pay you?
What my neighbor can pay me with, right.
You understand what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So I'm saying that for those individuals who are on reduced income or no income, it's now time to be extremely creative in the sense of either capitalizing on a freelancing service here locally or capitalizing on a freelancing service internationally. Mm-hmm. We have the computers. We have the internet. You know, there's a number of persons you can reach outside of the country only has less than 400,000. The rest of the world, we're dealing with the billions.
Billions.
You
sure.
understand what I'm saying?
Sure.
However, that doesn't fit everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Mama Lissy, who's 60, that might not work.
And even younger people, we have a service based country, right? Where a lot of the services that we offer are very hands on. The Bahamas isn't, we use social media for recreation.
True.
We don't necessarily use social media for money generation. That's just not our thing.
Well, for some persons, it could work for some persons. Let me come out the gate and say it's not going to work for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
But for some persons who use it for recreation, they can now use it for business.
Sure.
My only thing is in sharing with them is not if their service can reach persons outside of the country, let it do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because there's more money, there's more of a market.
Mm-hmm.
But for those who only can target the Bahamas based on whatever product or service that they're providing, then do that as well.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying? But I think it's now time for us to look at alternative means to generate not a whole lot of money to get us back to the lifestyle that we once lived, but at least some extra funds to help deal with what we call the four walls, right? You got to be able to take care of food, your basic food necessities, right? You have to be able to deal with your shelter, whether that is paying a portion on the rent or paying a portion on the mortgage or paying the whole thing if you have enough funds coming in. You have to be able to deal with your basic essential utilities. Cable is not an essential utility. But water and light, they are critical.
Sure.
You get what I'm saying? And then last but not least, you have to be able to get around. And the reason why this one is important is because people undertone those who actually use public transportation to get around. See, if you have a car, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But when you have to use public transportation to get anywhere you want to go,
and we are in and out of lockdowns, you need to make sure that you have a couple of dollars that you could call somebody right. in the midst of an emergency. Because they, if you call someone and you have no money, they're coming in their time.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have a few dollars to give them for gas or whatever, they will come in your time. Right. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
I've seen a situation emergency dealing with COVID. And they call a friend. The friend showed up. They call that morning. Friend showed up that night.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying? Person can almost die.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I say these things, I say this to the groups that it applies to the most. You mm-hmm. get what I'm saying? So that's the four walls. Once you generate enough money to handle your four wall, then you are at the point of what we call the maintenance.
Okay.
Until the economy gets better. And honestly, I can be honest with you, the economy is not going to get better until tourism gets better.
What about the people that says that we can't wait for tourism? The people that say we've got to figure out another plan, right? You're a financial planner, mm-hmm. not necessarily somebody that's in the business of tourism. But money is interesting in that money doesn't dissipate. So while money is at a standstill now, mm-hmm. the money is somewhere. Like they didn't burn the money up. Mm-hmm. How do we go about getting money out of the people or the places where money is? Because I think that is what needs to happen. I mean, if you consider, I'm sure if you ask Rupert if he made money or lost money during the pandemic, he will say he lost money, but I'm sure his books will reflect otherwise.
Yeah.
So there are some people that have made money.
There are some
because money doesn't go anywhere.
No, there are some sub-industries that made money.
It doesn't go anywhere. Yeah. So we've got to figure out now, where has the money gone,
uh-huh.
and how do we get it back now out of these bank account savings and out of these escrow savings and out of... Because now we need that money back on the ground and in the economy. And in a place like the Bahamas, where we are multi-destination, how does the guy in Crooked Island get money? Because money in Nassau. Yeah. How does the guy in Grand Bahama get money? Because money's in Nassau, mm. right? How do we go about spinning the domestic economic wheel?
See, it all centered around problems. As long as you're solving a problem that people are willing to spend money on now, mm-hmm. in this climate,
mm-hmm.
there would never be an issue.
Okay.
It would never be an issue. The challenge is that most of us think within a box.
Mm.
All right? And most of our traditional businesses that we think within a box may not necessarily work in a time like this.
Sure.
You get what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So let's go back to the guy in Crooked Island. So if he's a fisherman, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's still some people buying fish,
mm-hmm.
believe it or not. But if he's a fisherman with a website, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if you purchase the fish off the website and that fish and you have delivery to the house, he could kind of come out of that situation winning.
Mm-hmm.
But if he doesn't have to have the technical skills for that. He just needs to realize that there's an opportunity there. You mm-hmm. get what I'm saying? And then you find that once one person does it within that sub-industry, then others start to follow. For example, we always had delivery businesses,
mm-hmm.
right? But when the pandemic first hit, you start to see certain brands or certain names float to the top.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you look at it in hindsight, even though we're still restricted, but we still could move around a little bit more than last year around the same, well, not mm-hmm. last year, but 2 months
right.
ago around the same time, right? But those businesses are still staying afloat. Matter of fact, they're still generating way more revenue prior to the pandemic. Mm-hmm. You get what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm saying to you that there's opportunity there for maybe sometimes a traditional business. They might just have to change their business model. Mm-hmm. Or there might be opportunity there. But we may have to look at a new business to solve the new needs of the consumers.
So what about in this kind of time, right? I was having a conversation with somebody the other day, and I think one of the things that will get smaller black people, right? Like I always think about how to fix black people problems. My apologies, right? I think that for a long time we've struggled with the idea of conglomerates coming together. We like standalones. And I think the pandemic has proven to us that the standalone culture is not going to necessarily work. We've got to figure out a way for two or three of us that have like minds, like business modules, and equal interests to come together, because that is the only way for us to weather the storm or the burden of
history has already been established. Mm-hmm. All right? And what I say that is, when you look at the groups that have successfully rise to the top economically, mm-hmm. I'm talking about economic pillars in our society mm-hmm. today, they did it as a collective. We hit out at the Bay Street Boys, but they are a collective. Mm-hmm. We hit out at the Sunshine Boys. They are a collective. Mm-hmm. We hit out at the Chinese. They are a collective. We hit out at the Africans. Mm-hmm. They are a collective. We hit out at some groups of Haitians, but they are a collective. Mm-hmm. We hit out at the Jamaicans. You know, we have a lot of Bahamian / Jamaican products in a lot of our convenience stores, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. right? We talk about, we don't have production companies. We mm-hmm. do, to a small extent, mm-hmm. but they're not fully owned by Bahamians.
I know, Grace Hot Sauce. I love it.
You understand what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. We hit out at them, but they did that as a collective. Mm-hmm. You understand what I'm saying? So I'm saying to you that the template is already there. The problem we have in our society, you talk about Black Bahamians. Mm-hmm. The problem we have in our society is the number one business strategy that Black Bahamians like to deploy is the Me Too strategy, in the sense of you set up a business and you generate some money. You know what I can do? Set up a similar business right on the side of you. Mm. Instead of you saying, hey, man, look here, I want a piece of that pie. And you, in your mind, you're thinking I should be expanding. So now we can come together and have a conversation where I could be putting Miller's, whatever, whatever, location number 2 on another side of the island that caters to your demographic that attends Miller number 1. Mm-hmm. But we don't want to do that. We feel that I have to win and you have to lose. When those other groups look at it as, how can we work together, whether it's in the same business or complementary businesses, mm-hmm. you know, but as long as we keep this network together, we can, this is the competitive advantage in any other grouping who tries to rise up, we can crush them.
Yeah, but even if we aren't in the same, under the same name, under the same title, under the same umbrella, even if we look at buying power, like now is the time, I think, that bigger families ought to be benefiting. Like, now is the time that we ought to bulk buy. Now is the time. And it is because, you know, if each one of us do 100,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
$1,000 worth of grocery
yeah.
looks a whole lot more different than if I have to spend my 100 trying to buy 10 items. So I spend $100 on one item, you spend 100 on one item, 10 of us spend 100 on one item. Now when that pallet comes, or now when that thing comes, when we look at what it is our market share is for our $100,
yes.
have we gotten more or have we gotten less for our 100? And I think that in a post-pandemic world is one of the ways to weather, you know, the burden of hardship with financial resources.
No, I agree with you. Matter of fact, I'm actually actively participating in 3 groups that does that. Mm-hmm. One of the former groups that I participated in was my work group. We all came together. We purchased from BJ's, and then during the ending of the month, during our payday time, mm-hmm. the shipping company dropped the big. Several pallets down in the parking lot, and everybody got what they purchased. Mm-hmm. I have it on a smaller level. Me and my parents' household, we come together, and we go right here to the meat place, mm-hmm. the meat wholesaler. Mm-hmm. You understand what I'm saying? And what we spend together, or our portion alone, if we were to spend that inside the food store, bro, man, that meat, in all honesty, mm-hmm. that would probably be consumed, and the amount that we were to get is so little, mm-hmm. that would be consumed in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
This, what we get from the wholesaler, bro, that lasts us for 6 months.
Mm.
You understand what mm-hmm. I'm saying? And so I do agree with you, but once again, like I said, the challenge of why we as Bahamians in our society don't do these things is because somebody has to be the leader, and somebody got to be the tail, and sometimes we don't like the arrangement. Oh, it ain't my idea, so I don't think I should be involved. I'm not saying that it's right. I'm just saying at this stage or at this time, we do need to move or have a paradigm shift mm-hmm. and move to what you're saying, because that's the only way for us to survive. Our entire country is set up that way.
Mm.
Think about it. We've been doing, when I say we, I'm talking about the Bahamas as a whole. We've mm-hmm. been doing Airbnb before Airbnb existed.
Right.
We've been doing that before even our economic model that we have today existed.
Mm-hmm. You understand what I'm saying? We've been doing this from the 40s, 50s. Europeans came down for several months, not weeks. Mm-hmm. And they stayed with Bohemians over the hill. Okay. You understand what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Successive governments tried to bring it back through the program called the People to People.
People to People.
Right? And now one website made it extremely popular. Now we have second homeowners buying properties here in our country and doing the same thing. Mm-hmm. Whether they do it individually or they do it in groups. Mm-hmm. My point to you is this. Who's more land rich than Bohemians?
Few people.
You understand mm-hmm. what I'm saying? We got generational land, which we could easily quiet it as mm-hmm. a family. But see, that's a fight. Mm-hmm. You understand what I'm saying? And then we could put whatever structures we need to put on those properties. Because remember now, most Bohemians or persons who are in Nassau or residing in Nassau, mm-hmm. if you trace back, most of their families are originating from a different family
island. They've got family land.
Yeah, you mm-hmm. understand
generational
what I'm saying?
Generational property. The government can't even do nothing with it.
Acres of land. Right. You understand what I'm saying? Right. And so when you talk about putting something there, and it could be the residence, and then you look at the activities around it, why you can't make money? There are a lot of families that are doing that today. You understand what I'm saying? But you said, but it's COVID. Yes, it is COVID, but there are, you know how many persons right now from Canada and Europe that are flying to the Bahamas to stay in the Bahamas more than a year because of the level of restrictions and the mere fact that they can't bring the numbers down in their home countries?
Yeah, and it's also interesting. I know the tourist numbers are down, but the thing that has caught my attention at least for the last 2 months is when you drive past the Millionaire Airport, mm-hmm. when you see the amount of private jets that are parked
there,
I don't think I've ever seen this amount of luxury private. Like even now, right? I'm fascinated by planes. Planes fascinate me, right? So I hear planes flying over my head, and my natural inclination is to look up, right? Mm-hmm. One of my fascinations with planes is most people are afraid to die in a plane crash, right? But people don't ever think a plane will come crashing down on them. So if I hear planes, I usually look up to see where the plane's coming from, just in case this one falling, right? It's a crazy thing in my head. But I've noticed as of late that the planes that are flying over, these aren't commercial planes. Mm. These are very hefty-looking pleasure jets. I imagine the people that fly these don't have money problems, that the pandemic has not affected them in any way. No. And it baffles me that they are coming here. How are we? What is it that we can, must, or need to do to get that money from behind that gate and out into this economy? How do we go about doing that? Because we have the entire place on lockdown, right?
Yeah.
So they're not able to come out and socialize, which is where they would have spent a lot of money, which is how we make money out of tourism. But there's got to be something else.
So I would say this. So that community of persons who are flying down into the country, which you're referring to, the communities that they're staying at are set up in such a way that they don't need to come out behind the gate. Mm-hmm. You understand what I'm saying? And if they do, they're going to stay in their immediate area. Mm-hmm. So they can stay on the western side of the island mm-hmm. if they could. Mm-hmm. However, there's still a group right underneath that group that is coming here mm-hmm. that they would stay at our place, that they will still eat at our restaurant, that they would still... Because think about it. I don't know if you've seen some of the videos coming out of Florida. You wonder if we have the coronavirus at the level that they have it at Florida, because everybody's still walking around casually. Mm-hmm. So there's still a large group of persons who still want to experience the island. We need to target them. You understand what I'm saying?
Now, but we're fearful. We're fearful for what that means for our healthcare system.
We are, but at the same time, we have to remember now, you know, in before COVID, you know, we may have 6 million, 7 million plus the cruise ship passengers mm-hmm. coming here. After COVID, with the restrictions that we have in place, we're not going to hit those numbers. Mm-hmm. Not until the restrictions are removed or mm-hmm. lessened. You mm-hmm. get what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But I'm saying there still could be a good solid amount that is coming here mm-hmm. that many of our butlers who used to work in the hotel or who are furloughed or whatever they are, that they could provide a service. The chefs, they can provide us. How many persons have pop-up food companies mm-hmm. in the last year have mm-hmm. you seen on?
I've seen a few.
WhatsApp and mm-hmm. Facebook and all of those, Instagram, all of that stuff. So what I'm saying to you is, it's full circle, going back to the collective thing. If I'm providing food
and I know somebody who's providing the Airbnb, right? Mm-hmm. And if I was a maid and I used to clean inside the hotel, we need to start having some conversations with the Airbnb person. You understand mm-hmm. what I'm saying? Hey, I'll provide the food for the guests who's staying so that they don't have to come out or whatever the case may be. If you are an activities provider of some sort, okay, let me reach out to some Airbnb people. Okay, I will provide the activities in a safe environment with few persons, et cetera, et cetera. That's how we start to build the collectives, but also even going forward past the pandemic, we can survive. Mm. It has to be done through a collaborative effort. It cannot be done any other way.
All right, let's give it the numbers. 323-6232-3254-316-3254-259. You can text me, 422-4796. I'm here with financial planner Nathaniel Butler. He says he's from the Preaching Butlers, not the other ones. But he's a financial planner. And so we're here talking about how do we make it in the post-pandemic world, right? Money is not what it once was. And we've got to figure it out. It sounds to me as though Nathaniel is saying, scared money don't make no money.
No.
And so we've got to figure out new, bold ways to get the economy spinning. We've got to call online. Good morning, Callie. You're on. Callie, you there?
Yes, hello. Hey, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm great. First time caller, and I'd like to say hello to Mr. Butler.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now, Mr. Butler, I was listening to what you all had to say, and with regards to that collective concept, I know of a business downtown, a club, was up and running, was vibrant, and right downstairs, a next Bohemian brother came and opened exact club, exact theme, right beneath that existing club. And two of the clubs went out of business. And I understand this one thing I want you to look at, and I think it's a psychological concept because collectivism is a systematic concept, a systematic notion, and our system don't produce that. And I'll explain to you how and why. Firstly, when we look in our school systems, you have the A stream, the B stream, the C stream.
Mm-hmm.
You look at our religious concept. Christ, one person, saves everyone.
Mm-hmm.
You look on TV, the propaganda that they push and we watch, that Superman and Batman and these superheroes, these people will come and save the day. So right now, the collective effort is being like so far removed from us as far as we coming together to solve these simple problems and to build and generate wealth. For me, I had to bring my whole family together. My New Year's resolution was to bring my whole family together just to have a sit down and talk about building family wealth and what it means, because trying to do it by yourself is not possible. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's like you have to re-educate and reteach your own how to be able to do these things. And I started to realize it's the psychological effect that the system that we live by
mm-hmm.
is imposing on us, you know? So I think it's good for what you're doing, and I think we should have more programs to this to help people understand it's okay to work together.
Yeah.
Corporations, cooperating, you know?
Mm-hmm,
so,
mm-hmm.
brother, it was a breath of fresh air to hear you know, I listen on the shows. But it's a better pressure to actually hear that you have people who work in that endeavor. And I'm telling you,
hey,
it's people out here who want to do that. So you need to continue to spread that message.
Hey, caller, a couple of things I wanted to say to you, but I have a question that I want to ask you. All right? But before I ask you this question, I want to make this statement. So in the Certified Financial Planning Society around the world says that by the time a child hits the age of 10, their financial foundation is established.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
All right? And what is worse about this generation more than any other generation is because we have the phone, they see more. There's a statistic out that said 10 years ago, there was a statistic out that says an 18-year-old will see 1 million ads by the time it's they hit 18.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be less now. I say that to say this. You talk about sitting the family down. I want you to be honest. When you were growing up, did anyone of the older generation, your mommy, your daddy, your uncle, your aunt, or your grandparents, sat you down and had the same conversation you had with your children?
No, sir. And but
and this is the challenge, not picking on you, but this is the challenge, and I'm happy that you sat down with your family.
Mr. Butler.
Yes, sir.
Let me say this. I challenge so much of my friends. I told them. I said, look at three generations and see if we could find any semblance within three generations of our family where anyone of our families have businesses together amongst black Bohemians. My daddy, and we couldn't find, I say, that's a common variable. Mm-hmm. That can't be coincidental that the majority of Bohemian families, we could go back 3 to 4 to 5 generations. And we can't see an semblance of a cooperative effort on a family business.
Mm. Everybody continues to try to make it out or to be the one that makes it out rather than all of us swimming down the line together.
Exactly.
We all running 400 meters and the colleagues on the side of us running a 4x4, four by one.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
So,
appreciate you, caller.
Please, you got to continue your effort.
Thank you very much, caller. 323-623-3252-54316, 325-4259. Those are my numbers. 424-7996. You can text me on that. I got a text right here that says, hi, if you have generational property, what do you have to do before you go and build on it? And I'm not sure of how it works, but I know that there are a number of people that do build on generational property. I'm not sure of the walkthrough steps, though.
See, it all depends. Now, first and foremost, I would tell the person get legal counsel on that.
Yes.
Definitely get legal counsel. And if you're going to get legal counsel because it's generational property, make sure that that legal counsel will speak to the matriarch or patriarch of the family so that that communication can be passed on. Mm-hmm. Because if it is done in secret, the other members of the family may view you slightly or slighted.
Mm-hmm.
The second thing I would say is depending on what you're trying to build on the property, some people can just build depending on what the intent is. I would recommend to others, make sure that we first, in some cases, quiet it, put it in a vehicle where shares can be distributed to make it a little bit more easier to pass on the whatever it is that you're going to build. Because when you don't take care of that legal side and you go full steam ahead in building something, what tends to happen is those who contribute the least will be the ones making the most noise.
Mm-hmm.
And those who contribute the most will carry the burden.
Mm. Someone here says, good day, Levin. NIB has been owing Bahama employees for 9 weeks of unemployment benefits. Could you find out what's going on? I could try. Levin, this government has no plan for this economy or how to generate funds outside of tourism. All they want to do is oppress the average Bahamian. And again, the question becomes, outside of tourism, Nathaniel, outside of the golden egg that we've seen save us for so long, a long time ago we've cried that we've got to have diversification. The question is, though, what? And as a financial planner, the people that still somehow, by God's grace, does have money saved somewhere, is it your advice to them then that now is the time to break that nest egg that you have saved, whether it is an annuity, whether it is retirement funding? Should I now, as a man 35 years old, say, well, my retirement thing is up to about $50,000 now. I might as well cash that in, lose the 15%, get $35,000, and at least I'm able to take $35,000 and try to see if I can come up with something more brilliant.
No. So what I would normally tell persons is a financial plan has 8 components to it. I only want to focus on 2. So retirement savings will always be separate and apart from regular investing. We will never mix the two of them together.
But I broke now.
No, hold on though.
Mm-hmm.
We never mix the two of them together. Mm-hmm. You could liquidate some of your investments because you're cash strapped, and that's what a lot of persons are doing.
Mm-hmm.
But I would caution person because at the end of the day, you still have to retire.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You know, many persons right now don't have a retirement savings investment product or such who are going to rely on NIB, but not going to be able to retire. So they have to work within their retirement years. And remember, our life expectancy here in the Bahamas isn't that high.
Right.
So you'll be working well into your retirement years and only enjoy probably, 5 years, 4 years of good health?
Mm-hmm.
If you have health at that time,
You understand what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So no, I would say keep the retirement.
Keep my retirement plan.
Yeah, keep that retirement mm-hmm. plan in place. But now let's look at some of the investments that you have. And I just want to go quickly through some points. So if you have money and you're looking to make investments, this is a quick plan you could just put together. The first thing you want to look at is, okay, how many years you want to see investments to grow? That is extremely important. We call that the risk horizon, right? Mm-hmm. Then once you have established that, for some persons who are under the age of retirement, I normally tell them just take, if your retirement age is 65, just take your current age from that number, and that tells you how much years you have before mm-hmm. you hit retirement, so we could look at investments within that scope of time. Mm-hmm. The second thing you need to look at is your objective. For some persons, it's all about in generating income. Mm-hmm. Others is growing the capital. For others, it might be conserving or keeping or preserving the capital. And then last but not least, a combination of all of those other objectives. We call that the balance approach. Mm-hmm. After that, then the most important thing we have to look at is called the risk capital. Mm-hmm. When you take away all your other savings, if there are any, what are the money that you want to use to invest that you could afford to lose? Mm-hmm. Because there's going to be risk associated. I don't care. The risk may not be a whole lot, but there's going to be risk associated with any investment.
Yeah, even if you sell toilet paper.
Yeah.
Right.
And if somebody tells you that there's no risk associated, run from that investment.
And there's no one on the planet that doesn't need toilet paper, but if you open a toilet paper selling business, you probably run the risk of loss.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Depending on where you set that up, too. Mm-hmm. So risk capital. Once you have that number down, then the last and most important step, well, two more steps. The second most important step, your risk profile. People get into risky ventures, but not understanding what they can handle from a risk profile. Mm-hmm. There are three basic ones, you know, conservative, you're moderate, or you're aggressive, right? So if you're conservative, you cannot make aggressive moves. Mm-hmm. You just ain't gonna sleep good at night.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying? So now once you've kind of figured that part of it out, the last thing is now let's look at the different types of products that are available. All right? There are five groups. You have from the real estate. That's the first group, whether it's residential or commercial, and the list goes on and on in that regard. You have securities, you know, and they'll tell you all the wonderful things that were going on securities, mutual funds going up and then the stock market going down, blah, 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 blah. Then you have my favorite, which this is the perfect time to get into, which is micro private equity, mm-hmm. which simply means it's already an established business mm-hmm. that is generating cash flow, mm-hmm. which has records mm-hmm. you can see. You understand what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And it's just buying into that business or completely buying the business from someone else.
Okay.
You understand what I'm saying? That one is the least, when you compare it to starting a business, mm-hmm. it's less risk in the buying of it because you already have a book of business and you already have of records before you. Mm-hmm. You get what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And last but not least, intellectual property and digital assets.
Mm. That's a big one. We got to go to the break. I hear my music. We're going to the break. Don't go anywhere. I've got a couple minutes left. Nathaniel Butler is with me. We're talking financial planning in the post-pandemic world. It's Stephen Miller. I'm Unleashed on your radio. We'll be right back.
Girl, Junior just showed me Bala Boy in his phone.
What you mean? He take picture of that good for nothing boy?
Shh, you don't want Bala hair. You say that. You know she always say that's my good child.
So what he doing in Junior phone?
Oh, he there because the police looking for him. He on that wanted list.
Wanted persons in your phone now?
Yes, child. And when police want find anybody quick, after something happened, they can send picture direct to your phone. Go to Google Play or App Store and search for Crack Crime Bahamas, then pick install and it will go straight to your phone.
There is also a section on missing persons.
Yes, girl. Everybody needs to get this app so police can tell us right away when these people go missing. Just like an alert system.
Yes, it has numbers for Crime Stoppers Bahamas so you can call and nobody knows you. Call directly to Miami and give the information without giving your name or anything about you. I tried the other day and when I hear Junior and his boys talking about where they hide those guns, I walk quick round the corner and call that number.
Call 328-8477 from Nassau or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
It takes a village to raise a child, and it takes each and every one of us to grow the Bahamas. On the clock, we dive into the stories, we identify the issues, and we engage the people, organizations, and institutions that keep the country running. On the Clock with Aaron Green, weekdays 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. here on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM.
Guardian Media wants you to get active in 2021 and become eligible to win a two-night stay at the luxurious Comfort Suites, gift certificates from Rose Essentials, Bahari, Sia Monet Organic Candles, Soaps, and Scents, lunch for two at Tiki Bikini Hut, plus a round-trip ticket and cases of water from Bahama Blue. Get up, get out, and get active. Walk, jog, run, cycle, or swim on dates and times of your choosing safely anywhere in the Bahamas. Take a photo or video of you being active and log on to GuardianTalkRadio.com contest page. Click on the Guardian Media Get Active in 2021 contest link and upload your photos and video. Invite your friends and family to vote on your entry for your chance to win fantastic prizes. Your body and mind will thank you for being active. Guardian Media is working to help make you healthy, wealthy, and wise. Promotion ends February 26th. Winners will be announced March 5th.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours, it will be ours. Oh, one day, when the war is won.
Welcome back to the final minutes of the show. Levin Miller is here. I'm Unleashed. It's so good to have you with me. This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Let's go straight to this phone call. Good morning, caller. You're on.
My name is Mr. Miller, and you're a guest.
Hey, Robert.
The Central Bank of the Bahamas, eased up on us trading on Wall Street, right?
Go on.
We need to learn what the Jews should do. How we had worked so hard to get rich. You can sit down. Some people do day trading. Mark Cuban, his 10-year-old son, do day trading.
Mm-hmm.
But we need to learn how to invest, how to sell, and it's easy money, and it's a lot of. It's easy money, and it's something. But you know, it's risky. But ask your guests about Bahamians need to learn how to invest on Wall Street and how to day trade, and not all of us work so hard all the time.
All right, okay, Robert, thank you. What about trading? We've got about 2 minutes left. What about trading?
My brother, as long as you got the skill to generate money, it's something you should consider.
Yeah. Somebody's here saying to me that by the time I get 65, my $150,000 only could be worth half of that. Well, I don't care. I just want to open the bank account and see $150,000, and I can say, that's it. That's all I care about. I don't really care about the rest of that stuff. I'll be 65. I'll be old. 15 years away from 80. My next life goal is to make it to 80, by the way. I want to wake up on my 80th birthday old enough to not care and old enough to cuss everybody, and nobody could say nothing to me because I'm 80. That's the plan. That's the plan. I live for the day that I become 80. So, Nathaniel, thank you so much for joining me. Any parting words as you go?
No, I would just say to everyone, man, sit down with your family. Let's start having some conversations around money. Let's see how we could work together. Let's see how we can pull together. And then also, most importantly, let's see how we could pass whatever we create together on to the next generation so that they don't have to start all over again.
Mm-hmm. And also sit down with your friends, right? Like I like my liquor drinking friends, right? Mm-hmm. We drink liquor together very well. Mm-hmm. But you know, this pandemic has made me realize, right? And not the oobly goobly stuff that I see going on where if you're not making money with me, we can't be together. No. I can still drink liquor with you if we can't make money together.
Yeah.
But if you all have an opportunity or a mind to work together to make money, then we could drink liquor sometimes, but we could also make some money sometimes together. And I think that is a conversation that you not only need to have with your family, but you could also have that kind of conversation with a couple of your friends. Not all of them.
Listen to me. There's some friends who are like family, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. So, thank you so much for staying with me. Thank you so much for coming to Daniel Butler as my guest. We've been talking about money and financial planning in the post-pandemic world. I'm Levin Miller. Join me every weekday here at 11 a.m. only on Guardian Radio as Levin Miller is unleashed on your radio. Stay tuned. Guardian Radio's got news for you next.
Glory. Glory.
Oh.
Glory. Glory.
Hands to the heavens, no man.